Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Psalm 145, I will extol thee, my God, O King, I will bless thy name forever and ever. Father, we come to you this morning, pray your blessing upon what is going to be shared this day. We ask, God, that you'd anoint me, God, that I might be able to communicate the word of God. And Lord Jesus, I pray that the Holy Spirit this morning would take scripture and speak to our hearts, every one of us, from the youngest to the oldest. And God, would you challenge us? And God, would you convict us? And God, would you draw us closer? And dear Holy Spirit, would you encourage us this morning? And we pray, God, that you would just do what has to be done here in the church house for this local church, this New Testament local church. God, make us and help us to become more like you and represent you better in this day and age in which we live. Thank you for the incarnation. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to this earth. Man, I tried to get all over that this morning in Sunday school, and I believe you were in it, and hearts were blessed. And God, I just ask that you would warm our hearts this morning. In Christ's name, amen. Go ahead and be seated. It's December already. I always struggle with Christmas messages. Not that the message isn't big. It's huge. The incarnation is huge. But it's like I need to do like four messages on it or six messages on it. Got to wrap up a couple things for Christmas programs and so forth. And God, I prayed this week, God, just give me something just that isn't a normal Christmas message, but make it a Christmas message. And so here we are, the 145th Psalm. Before we read anything in 145th Psalm, let's go to Luke in chapter 2. Gospel of Luke and chapter 2. It's the Christmas story. I know you're familiar with it. I'm not going to read it all, but I just want to read a core truth here this morning and trust that God will speak to all of our hearts. Let's all stand together, Luke in chapter 2, and let me just read from verse 7 on through verse 20. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, the Anointed One. That is good news. Verse 12 says, And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. I want to add my voice, although I can't sing like they can. I want to add my voice to that angelic heavenly chorus. I want to add my stand and my voice to the message of the shepherds. We need to be shouting it abroad. We need to be telling everybody we know, He's come. He has come. The promised one, the Savior, He has come to this earth. And yes, it was 2,000 years ago, but let me tell you what He did for us. And then rehearse Calvary's story. Rehearse the gospel story. Good tidings unto all men. Father in heaven, we pray your blessing upon the word of God this morning. We pray, Jesus, that you would work in our midst. A lot of people here, varied backgrounds, different story behind every face. And yet, one Savior that has come to this earth and provided a one-time salvation, and all we need do is repent and come unto thee. Thank you that it's not a way of works. Like we studied this morning, thank you that it's not the Old Testament and keeping the law. Thank you that it's mercy. Thank you that it's grace. We need to exalt you like no other people. And God, I pray you just help me right now to be led by the Spirit of God and preach Psalm 145 in a way that everybody can understand. And God, I pray that everyone would be attentive and we'd all stand in awe at the message and in the presence of God the Holy Spirit. And Lord, speak to us and build us and make us the people we need to become. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and be seated. Turn back to Psalm 145. This psalm will not take long to preach. And it's not a very deep psalm. And I know you probably will recognize that as we go along. This morning's message will be like a glass of milk, the milk of God's word, but yet the meat of God's word included in it. And it will be refreshing. And I want to start this by saying, this one simple truth. I have one job. I have one job. It's not pastoring a church. I have one job. You have one job. You know, it's not standing in a factory line. That's not your one job. It's not doing plumbing repairs. That is not your one job. It's not being the butcher, the baker, or the candlestick maker. That is not your one job. Your one job and my one job is to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Not talking about your vocation. Not talking about what God has put on your plate and what you're supposed to be doing here in this earth to provide for your family and provide for others around you and to help in the New Testament local church. Your one job is to exalt Jesus Christ. And I want to say this before I go into the message, before I get into Psalm 145. And this is something I've said several times this fall or this summer in the last several months. And I want to say it again. Everything I have is because of Jesus Christ. I heard it this week. I had a man tell me, man, you're quite a guy, man. Look what you're doing over there. I get so tired. Please, you help me out. If you ever hear in the community or in among all your friends, yeah, Pastor Rader, he's building a great work over there. If you ever hear that, you shoot it down right away. Don't let any praise fall on flesh and blood. Make sure you exalt Jesus Christ. Everything that has been done here has been done for the glory of God. And I want to say this again. I want my last breath to be praising God. I want all of my children. I want all of my grandchildren. I want everybody in my immediate family. I don't want to give them any excuse for drifting away from God. I want them to know, and I want to say it again this morning, and I say it often, everything I have, all the glory goes to God. Everything that God has ever given me or ever allowed to happen, every soul that has ever been won, every family that has ever been, that was broken and has been put back together, every single one of them, it is because of Jesus Christ. I'll go further than that. I'm going to heaven because of Jesus Christ. My sins are forgiven. It is all mercy. It is all grace, because no other way would it happen. It's all because of Christ. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. That's why the angel said to the shepherds, I got good news. The Messiah has come. These were priestly shepherds. They were shepherds in training for the Levitical priesthood. They were in the fields watching the sheep that would one day, some of them, be offered as a sacrifice. These were shepherds that understood what the Messiah was all about. And so when the angel said, he has come, and then the heavenly hosts broke out throughout all of the horizon and sang to the glory of God. Man, they were more than just a little afraid. And then they took off into Bethlehem to find the Savior, find the Messiah. He deserves every word of exaltation we can give him. Let's look at verse 1. Verse 1 of Psalm 145. Sing it loud, folks. Sing it loud. Our God is good. We have one job. It's it. Boil everything away that Tim Rader does. Boil everything away that I've ever, everything. I have one job as a born again child of God. And that's to exalt my Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. Man, I sing it through the Christmas season. Sing it through the New Year's. Sing it through the winter months, the cold winter months. Sing it in the summer months. Sing it through the spring when the birds start singing again here in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. It's several months away yet, but every day, 365 days a year, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, I am supposed to glorify God. And he deserves so much more than what I can do. But I got my spot. I got my position in the family of God. I've got my place, my part in that heavenly chorus. I've got my place in the New Testament local church. Psalm 145, David said it better than anybody could say it. He said, I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever. Everything that has ever been true about Jesus is still true today. Amen. He is the immutable, unchanging Son of God. And he deserves all of my praise and far better than I can do. And as I'm reading through Psalm 145 this week again and again, and then listening to it with Alexander Skirby on my little cell phone again and again and again, I'm trying to get saturated with the 145th Psalm, because that's the best way that preaching ever takes place. At least that's my experience. And how many people in the world today of 8 billion are exalting Jesus Christ? Think how few voices there are. And here we are, we're saved and we know it. And we got a job to do. David said, I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee. I will praise thy name forever and ever. That sounds pretty consistent. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. David says, I will praise my God. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. Turn over there if you would very quickly. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's God's will for you and for me, that we would be rejoicing all the time, that we would give thanks for everything that comes into our lives, and look as you will, but God never tells his people to pout. God never tells his people to sit around and feel sorry for yourself. That is not in the word of God. David said, I will exalt you, Lord, my God, my King. I will lift you up forever and ever. Continuously. That includes every day he is here. He was here on this earth. Every day is a platform. Every event is an opportunity. Everything that comes into my life, it is some kind of pulpit. I will go through, and you will too if you're right with God, you will go through the year 2025 looking, hunting for opportunities to glorify God, to exalt Jesus Christ. And this will bring it down to where fundamental is this morning. As far as the New Testament church, are we really praising him? At your job, do you really exalt Jesus? Or has something happened to your heart where it's gotten cold? In the cantata, we're singing a song called, is it called Stone Cold Heart? No, it isn't. Cold Heart. Heart of Stone. Heart of Stone. And that describes so many of God's children. David said, my God is great, verse 3. Greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. You'll never know joy unless Jesus is your Savior. You'll never know happiness unless Jesus is your Lord. Otherwise, life is just a rugged journey. You'll know joy when you find Jesus as your Savior. You'll know happiness, deep joy, when you make Jesus your Lord. He saves, he keeps, he satisfies. Everything that's always been true about Jesus is still true today. Look at verse 4. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. My praise affects others. Corporate praise in a church service, individual praise in my prayer closet, in my life, in my journey where I'm putting one step in front of the other and I'm going through Monday, and then Tuesday comes, I put one step in front of the other and I'm going through Tuesday, then Wednesday comes, one step in front of the other, and I'm just living my life, but every step I take, I'm to bring glory to God continuously, forever and forever. And the fact is, my praise affects others. That is such a big truth. And I'm going to come back to an Old Testament text on that in just a moment. But let's go to a familiar psalm. Just back a couple pages. Psalm 100. 100 psalm. And I have read this, it seems, several times in the last several months. I want to read it again this morning. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing. That's how we're to come to God. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and that we ourselves, we are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. My kids, I'll make it personal, deserve the truth. And if I walk around as a grumpy person, or I walk around as someone that doesn't look to God, I walk around as someone that complains about everything, my kids are not learning the truth from me. I want my kids and my grandchildren to get to hear and see the truth personified in a New Testament child of God that has to say he's sorry every once in a while, that doesn't carry any grudges, a New Testament child of God that has a song in their heart and a bounce in their step. Because we get to go to church today. A bounce in their step because of Jesus Christ. My kids, I'm sure your kids too, deserve to see and hear the truth. That's why it tells us in Deuteronomy, you get the word of God in front of your children. You are responsible for the next generation. Look what it says in verse 4. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I got 5 kids. I have no idea how many grandkids I have anymore. I don't even try. I don't even know their names half the time anymore. But God has blessed my family. And I want them to know that the preacher, grandpa preacher, that he loves God. I want them to know, I want them to hear it not only from the pulpit, I want them to see it in my life, that I'm a man of prayer. I want them to know that I read my Bible. I want them to know there's one guy I know that studies the word of God, and I walk into his house and there he is reading his Bible. And I want them to know that in a time of valley, a time of tragedy, that they see me turn to God and that my faith would be unwavering. One generation sings it and passes it on to another generation. Your children are coming behind you. Your grandchildren are coming behind you. Our Lord, David said this, God, I will exalt you. Oh, my Lord and my King, my God and my King, I will lift you up forever and ever. I will exalt you day after day after day, and I will pass it on to the next generation. Best thing we can do this Christmas, there's a gift you can give, your love for God. Man, I don't want, people drift so easily. And the last thing I want to do is give my offspring an excuse to drift away from God. I want them to see something that is real, actually experience it. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. 3 John verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Verse 5, I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. I will speak of the glorious person of God. I will speak of the glorious works of God. It says in verse 6, and men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. Again, I ask you this. How many people in the world of 8 billion people are declaring the greatness of God today? And I submit to you, we're a great minority. And we are that city that's set on a hill, and we have great opportunity. I don't know if any of you have gotten the prayer letter yet, not the prayer letter, but the year-end letter from Pastor Rader yet. Maybe some have gone out and some haven't. I'm not sure. You'll be getting it soon if that be the case. But man, behold the works of God. Fundamental Baptist Church has become an evangelistic center of the North. I humbly tell you, we've got to do a better job. We are not doing enough. I'm seeing and recognizing too many people that Jesus isn't first in their life. And that really grieves me. I mean, I had that. That was on my heart all week long. That was on my heart all day yesterday. And, you know, there are always some people you can count on being here no matter what. Man, you will never know how that encourages the heart of a preacher. You will never know. In every church, there's two or three families or several more families, and you know they're going to be there. You know, come hell or high water, unless God providentially hinders them, they are going to be there. But here's what happens as the church gets bigger, the family gets bigger. And pretty soon, maybe you start thinking you're not as important as the other guy or as important as you used to be. And man, Ed Sullivan's on tonight, man. I'm going to stay home. I got a little bit of a headache. I saw something this week. It was really funny where the guy said, I got a little bit of a headache, so I took two aspirins and I'm keeping it away from the kids, just like it says on the bottle, something like that. Well, you think about that. That'll be funny later. I didn't get it out right, but it'll be funny later. It says on the aspirin bottle, take two tablets and keep away from kids. All right, so yeah, that's what you got to do. Take that aspirin, get away from your kids. I probably shouldn't have to tell a joke three times, because when you get to the third time, it really isn't all that good. Let's go back to Psalm 145. Psalm 145, verse 7. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness. Can you undersell the goodness of God? Let me reword that. Could you possibly oversell the goodness of God? No, sir. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. They'll hear about it from me, by the way. And the Lord is gracious and full of compassion and slow to anger and of great mercy. Good thing. All God's people said amen. Amen. The Lord, you didn't mean that, did you? Let me read it again. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. All God's people said amen. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. I drew a line from verse 9 down to verse 15. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. Man, even the world knows some of the goodness of God. It says here in verse 10, all thy works shall praise thee. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints. This is the work of God's people, shall bless thee. How can you bless God? Think about that a moment. How can you, as a sinner man, bless God? A sinner woman, bless God. You know what the word bless means? Somebody I know knows. Psalm 1, verse 1, blessed is the man. What does the word bless mean? Happy. I want to make my Father happy. I want to please my Heavenly Father. You and I will bless God by loving him the way we ought, by praising him and exalting him. And by, if you're not loving him, you're not going to be praising him. That one follows the other. If you're not committed to him, you're not going to be exalting him. He never even comes into your mind except when you're in trouble. You never even pray to him except for when you're in trouble. And you're out of step with God. And so he said, what the psalmist is doing, he says, I'm calling all God's people back to God. This Christmas vacation, this Christmas season, this time of the incarnation, when God visited this earth, calling all God's people back to God, and that we'd fall in love with him, and we would sing, and we would exalt him again. Verse 12 says, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. With or without us, God's kingdom is going to last forever. And I just want you to know, I'm glad that I'm part of God's family. And even if we fail, God's kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that are bowed down. I need to be humble. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous. He is right in all his ways. And holy, he is perfect and pure in all of his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. He's near them. You know that God is only a prayer away. If you're a sinner that has never received Jesus as your Savior, he is only a prayer away. He's done all that needs to be done. If you were in Sunday school this morning, you got your plate loaded up with the Old Testament and Old Testament law and what grace is really all about. Jesus knew we couldn't get it done, and so he did it all for us. And all he's waiting for us on our part is repentance. He is near. If you'll call on him today, he'll save you. If you're in trouble as a child of God and you call out to him and ask for help, he will help you this morning. He is our great high priest. It says the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Man, I love that. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. There is no lack with God. There is nothing too big for him. No problem that he cannot solve. He's the Lord God Jehovah. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. By the way, that is how I'm going to make it. That is how I'm making it right now. And that is how I'm going to make it in this pilgrim path that I live called life. I have a great high priest. I have a Jesus who loves me. He has forgiven me all my sins, even though I don't even deserve to be in the same universe as the holy God of heaven. I don't deserve an audience with him. Hey, there's no way he ought to know about Tim Rader. I'm a rebel right to the soles of my feet, inside and out, forward and backward. My whole life without Christ has been meaningless and a total waste. And he saved me. And he's given to me eternal life. And he said, I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And one day he's going to come back by way of the rapture. And if he doesn't come before death, I'm going home by way of death. But he's going to take me home to glory. And I owe him everything. And it's all because of Jesus. So I ought to praise him. I ought to exalt him. I ought to say, anytime somebody starts heaping some praise on me, say, oh, wait a minute. Sinner saved by grace. It's all God. But for the mercy of God, I'd be over there in that jail cell. But for the mercy of God, I'd be a dead man. But for the mercy of God, I'd be a druggie. I'd be an alcoholic. But for the mercy of God, it's all Jesus Christ. And I know that, so I better exalt him. I better praise him, like David said. Verse 21 says, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever. I have one job, and that's to praise God. It's the Christmas season. I got to praise God. If I've got any common sense, if I've got any kind of brain in this head, that I worry about myself more and more. And I'm getting more and more forgetful. The only thing that blesses my heart, encourages me, is other people my age and even younger than me are forgetful as well. They're quick to jump on me when I'm up here in front of hundreds of people and tell me about my mistakes afterwards. And then they get up here and Pastor Josh, it's a live stream. Where are you at, Pastor Josh? Live stream. What did you call it? Well, he's getting old, isn't he? I don't know what to say. That generation just doesn't have it. So David here says in verse 21, real simply, he is worthy, and I will not stop exalting Jesus Christ. Have I told you lately I love Jesus? Have I told you lately everything I have is because of him? Have I told you lately that anything that's ever been accomplished, it's because of Jesus? Any lasting value, any eternality to it, it's all because of Jesus Christ. Have I told you lately, have I sounded off in any way, shape, or form? Have I exalted Christ in your presence? Man, we got to do it all the time, and it's a whole lot more than just an empty two-word praise God. That's not enough. Man, you need to explain things. You need to talk Jesus. You need to do your very best to lift him up and bring him into conversations where he's not necessarily welcomed, but you find a way to bring him in. It might just be a word or two, but you get him there. And that testifies to the goodness of God. David one more time said it. He said, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will do it forever. Hear those words. David said by way of inspiration, so in love with God, I'll never stop. Never. I owe you everything.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.